presence in me in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace. I feel your presence in me in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace. I feel your presence in me in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace.
Thank you, Mark and Julie. And now let's prepare for meditation. What a beautiful song to lead us. So you can close your eyes if you will. And breathe in a nice deep breath, knowing that you are breathing in and breathing out the inhale and the exhale of spirit. Settling in to your seat, relaxing every muscle, every cell, and every organ. So easy to relax and know that I am the face of God. You are the face of God. And we are the face of God. And that we can feel the warm embrace of God around us, through us, in us, the omnipresence. In the moments that we are feeling the polarity, we can see the grace of God. Spirit that flows in, around, and through us. Let's take a moment right now of silence to feel that energy of God that is flowing in, around, and through us. The breath of God, breathing in and breathing out. The spirit that is in everyone, that is omnipresent in the good and the bad, in the highs and the lows. In the happiness and the grief, we are one with spirit, the omnipresence of God that is everywhere. And so it is. Amen.
presence in me, in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace. I feel your presence in me, in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I gratefully surrender to your grace. I feel your presence in me, in the silence. I see you looking out from every face. You fill me with your glory. Warmth of your embrace, I gratefully surrender to your grace.
Well, thank you, Mark and Julie. Wow. We didn't plan it, but this fits so perfectly with my message today, the omnipresence of God and the law of polarity. Now, back in July, I had read a reading to everybody here, and I'm going to go ahead and read it again today. Some of you may not have been here, but it fits in with everything that I'm going to be talking about today, and I'm going to be also talking about a little bit of how I expanded on this. So this is on the omnipresence of God and the law of polarity. I am Spirit, Allah, God, and Yahweh. I am the Creator and the creation. I am the realm of all possibilities. I'm the big and large. I am the allness and the smallness. I am the light and the dark. I am the known and unknown. I am the seen and unseen. I am black and white. I am all colors in between. I am the hot and the cold. I am the high and the low. I'm the lush jungles and the barren desert. I am the high mountains, the low valleys, and the rolling hills. I am the ebb and flow of the oceans. I am the crowded cities and the vast open spaces. I am the ripe good and the unripe evil. I'm the food you eat and the waters you drink. I am the plant and the seed. I am the long days and short nights of summer. I am the short days and long nights of winter. I am the rains and fresh flowers of spring. I am the falling leaves and the harvest of autumn. I am the soft, warm breeze and the harsh cold wind. I'm every breath, every thought, and every creation. I am Jesus, Buddha, Mohammed, and Satan. I'm every plant, animal, and human that has ever lived. I am that I am. And that is a reading that I had created for one of my classes, my metaphysics class at for the schooling I'm going to. And I'd read that to you last July. I had just written it, and it was not long after that that I realized this has to be expanded on. This has to be something I turn into something more. And I did that. I turned it into a 365-day contemplative journal, Brian, that is I am that I am. So this is a contemplative journal on the omnipresence of God and the law of polarity. And it will be published, should be around the end of next week. Yes. Around the end of next week, maybe the beginning of the next week after that, it will be on a website that it can be purchased. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end of the speech so that, because I could get distracted with this alone. But that's actually going to be part of what I use today to talk about my speech. So we will get back to that in a moment. But I want to also share with you, because we are unity, the definition that Charles Fillmore uses for omnipresence. Brian? Okay, omnipresence, this is according to Charles Fillmore from The Revealing Word. And this is actually one of those that I got for a dollar out at the... So that was like, woo, great find. So omnipresence is God is mind. The one mind contains all, and all ideas exist in the one mind. God is everywhere present. There is nowhere that God is not. Omnipresence, he is in all, through all, and around all. Omnipresence is a spiritual realm that can be penetrated only through the most highly accelerated mind action, as in prayer. And I just looked at this the other day. I had no idea when I wrote my journal that this was also what Charles Fillmore used. So to me, it fits in perfectly with unity and new thought. So thank you, Brian. When we think of omnipresence, I've been part of this unity for 19 years. When we think of omnipresence, as a new thought person, we generally think, oh, God is love, God is peace, God is joy, and God is all of that. But through my experiences, I've had to find God in it. Experiences that I would not wish upon anybody else. So it's like, well, wait a minute. If God is omnipresent, that means God's in everything. That includes the law of polarity. God had created the law of polarity, which is the law of opposites. So, and then everything, of course, in between. So why am I experiencing all this stuff? All this stuff because over the last 10 years, I feel like my life just kept imploding and imploding. You know, or God was layering stuff on me. Usually you might have one or two little things that you've got to work on in your life. But there were times where I felt like, what is going right? There, nothing. So, but as we are going through our stuff, that's when we're like the diamond in the rough. We're that clam that's being irritated. And I do say irritated because I've been irritated and angry many a times. And one of the things my mom would always say is, well, it builds character. I'm at the point, I think I've got more than enough character. Matter of fact, it's usually too much character for most people. So thank you, Mom. And I've got enough character spirit. So we want to put that out there. I've got enough spirit, so let's turn these things around. And so when we're talking about the law of omnipresence and love, polarity, we're talking of the things that we are considering more unpleasant as well. Like in my reading, you heard me say Satan. Yes. Yes. Well, as I wrote this, I kept basically a couple ideas in mind. Is that everything began with spirit. So spirit is pure love at its core. But how do you know what pure love is if you don't experience anything else? Life needs some contrast. So spirit, it started expressing itself in the world as people, situations, animals, plants, everything, in order to know its fullness and its pure love. So even though it's expressing at this all of this, it still comes back to being love. No matter what, the core is love. So when you're in those moments that seem, or meeting those people that don't seem like there's God anywhere near, well, yeah, that. But in the end, it will come back to being pure love. And the other idea I had on this was basically kind of what I just talked about. Contrast is what helps us to understand, and it helps us to grow. I'm a big fan of Michael Beckwith, and he would always say, spiritual growth is not for wimps. Yeah. And that is definitely one of the things that I have found out. And he also would say, pain pushes you until your purpose pulls you. Yes, to me those are golden nuggets. Both of those sayings, golden nuggets. But those are Michael Beckwith. Definitely give him credit for that, because to me he has been one of my spiritual mentors, even though I've never met him, but he's been a go-to for me to help me regain my spiritual footing over and over. So as I'm talking about the omnipresence of God, there's a couple things I wanted to go in with. With my journal, there's a lot of omnipresence in there. There's a lot of law of polarity, so there's the both. And I'm going to have you help me out with this speech today. And like I mentioned, the book journal is going to be 365 days. It's not a calendar. It's a journal. So if you want to contemplate more on something more than one day, you could. If you wanted to zoom past something, you could. You could read it over again if you wanted to. So the journal itself is days, not a calendar, not associated with a certain date. So, if I can have somebody give me a number between 101 and 365. 25. So we'll see what 20. Oh, I'm every breath, every thought, and every creation. So that was part of the original. Every breath, every thought, and every creation. And I think, in the Charles Fillmore's description, he talks about the thought, every thought. To me, we generally think of that as divine intelligence. So when we think about every thought, divine intelligence. When we think about every breath, the inhale and the exhale. The inhale and the exhale, and every creation, that means things that we don't like. In one of these, I listed the garden snake. I am the garden snake, the rattlesnake, the anaconda, and the python. Okay, now most of us aren't scared of the little rattlesnake, but I don't want to see a python or an anaconda or even a rattlesnake. But God is in every one of those creations. And there's a reason for that they exist. I may not know the reason, but God's spirit is there. And lots of times it's through hindsight that we see God in the situation, God in the experience. And we've had our personal growth. And I personally want to be pulled by my purpose, not pushed by pain. So how about another number?
244.
Okay. We'll 244, and then we'll get back to you, Peter. So, so 244. Okay. I am perspective.
Oh, man.
Yes, those are the moments where you maybe have an epiphany, or those moments where you sit in quiet contemplation. And so, what is perspective to you? And we'll go ahead and leave that out there for you to think about and contemplate on your own.
It was
66.
66. Since 666 would be
yeah, well, maybe we'll put that in volume 2. Okay. I'm sorry, you said 66? Okay. 66. We'll see. I am time and timelessness. Yeah, well, time overall basically is a human concept, is it not? Yes. And timelessness, have you, think of those moments in your life when you felt like time did not exist. Aren't those some of the most valuable moments of all, when time does not exist? We're not rushing against a clock, making every second work, and I feel like I have to do that at my job, every second, and it's unnecessary, but the timelessness, our precious moments that we hold, and notice that animals don't have a sense of time. I love that. I love that my Well, they have a sense of time. My dog has a sense of time, like most probably do, in that if you walk out the door, it doesn't matter if you're gone 2 seconds or 2 hours, they're still happy to see you when you walk back in. Isn't that great? Matter of fact, I lived in an apartment where I had a big glass window. And I would just walk out, and they could watch me the whole time. But as soon as I walked back in the door, they were happy to see me as if I'd been gone and they hadn't seen me. So time and timelessness, amazing concepts. And I put on Facebook a while back, 1980, this was like 2 years ago, 1980 and 2018, I put this in like 2020, when right after COVID started, both felt like they were 20 years apart ago, you know, because once we were in COVID, everything felt like it was a long time ago, but 1980 still felt like it was 20 years ago to me. So I think we get that sense as we get older that time is different. So anybody else want to give a number? 31 and 84. So we'll go with 31. I am the newborn baby.
Aww.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I'm one of those, I work at Sacred Heart Hospital, so I'm usually delivering food. And I'm all over the place. I'm in almost pretty much every single room throughout the day. I'm from one end of the hospital to the other, to the high, the low, the east, the west. And I get to see anywhere from just hours old. And I think the oldest I've seen is like 103. Yeah, so I've got to experience people in all stages. And of course, the newborn baby is just amazing in its perception because there is so much trust. That's what always amazes me about a baby and a child. It's complete trust in whomever is your caretaker. Wow. Because there's people, as you get older, you go, I wouldn't trust them for 5 seconds. But they have, this is part of their learning and growth experience too, that for the baby and the adult. And I'm sure most parents can relate to that. And I'm sorry, what was the other number? 84. Thank you. Well, 84 is a fun one on a different level. I'm heaven and hell. Oh. Well, thank God that a lot of us in New Thought think of heaven and hell more as a state of mind, not a physical place. But how did heaven and hell... It's one of those things where, yes, by having the contrast, you can appreciate other moments in your life. You can appreciate different things in your life. So this, to me, is one of the, both the heaven, you can feel the ordinariness or appreciate the fact that you're not feeling the hell, or if you're feeling the hell right now, you can appreciate the moments or look forward to the moments of being in heaven. In my class this last week, we were learning how to interpret the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, in more of a metaphysical way. And I said, I want to do Adam and Eve because I want to start as close to the beginning as possible so that I go through it, I have a very strong basis to work with. And heaven and hell. So Adam and Eve weren't in heaven. They weren't in hell. It doesn't talk anything about heaven and hell. But it does talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I think this is also somewhat where heaven and hell started, because this is actually prehistory. The book of Genesis is actually considered prehistory. This is all written by priests who made all this stuff up. And that's what they do say. That's what we are taught, that it's actually created by priests. It's prehistory. But it's supposed to be parables, just like Jesus, Yeshua spoke. These are parables that are supposed to help us learn. And stories that are supposed to help us learn. And by having this tree of knowledge of good and evil, it also gives us a basis of where all this polarity, all this contrast started with. So let's go with just one more, and we'll finish it up.
99.
I am your personal restraints and limitations. Now, don't we all do that to ourselves? We want to call it God. Well, we don't want to call it God. We usually blame ourselves. We blame other people. But it's actually spirit behind that. This is part where Michael Beck would be calling it the pain pushing you. Because this is something you created yourself. But as I read in the beginning, I am the realm of all possibilities. So I think one of the things that we all need to do is quit limiting ourselves, because you are the face of God. I'm the face of God. We are the face of God. And God expresses itself through each and every one of us. And look around the room and know that ye are God. Ye are spirit manifested in the world today. Amen.
was fun. It was fun.
This next song is entitled "I Come in Peace." It's another one I wrote many years ago when there was a lot of conflict and hatred and pain and anger and wars going on. And now, since that's all past and we're living in a world of peace, it hardly seems relevant, but maybe there's still a place for it. There's always a place for another peace song in the world, right? Divided up the planet, drawn your lines into the sand, separated all the people into many different clans. You live in fear, not knowing who you really are, killing each other with ignorance from afar. I come in peace, that's who I am. I bring you peace, spread throughout the land. I am light, I am joy, I am peace and I am love. I am Allah, I'm Muhammad, I am God up above. Be still and know you are a part of me. Way, for love will always set you free.
Set you free.
No need to be afraid or fear your fellow man when you look them in the eye. And take them by the hand. Just let go of all the fear and all the blame. And in the silence, you will know you are one in the same. I come in peace, and that's who I am. I bring you peace to spread throughout the land. I am light, I am joy, I am peace and I am love. I am Allah, I'm Muhammad, I am God up above. Be still and know you are a part of me. Peace is the way, for love will always set you. This message from above and awaken to the light of your true nature with love. You are but one. There are no sides to choose. Just stay in peace. Then there's no way to lose. I come in peace, and that's who I am. I bring you peace, spread throughout the land. I am light, I am joy, I am peace and I am love. I am Allah, I'm Muhammad, I am God up above. Be still and know you are a part of me. Way, for love will always set you free. Mm-hmm.
I come in.